Perfect. Yes, hello everyone. How's it going? What's the crack? My name is Michael and welcome back to a brand new episode of the MechLav podcast. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's keeping well and I just want to say thanks so much for listening wherever you're doing that. It's mid-July. We're in, as of right now, I would like to call the heatwave. We've had three warm days in a row, which is a complete rarity for where we live. The sun is splitting the stones and we are now entering a bit of a sporting void, but we're not, we're in a football void. The Euros have just finished. What a tournament it was. And now we've golf on, we've the Olympics on, and we're just about a month away from the start of the Premier League season. So now is the time to digest what just happened in the Euros while also looking forward to the beloved return of club football. Before we get started, I'd like to apologise for my voice. Hay fever exists, and even though I'm sitting in my own room with the window only slightly open so I can breathe, pollen is still winning this fight. So I apologise from the off on the raspiness. But this is an episode about national anthems. Basically, this conversation has come up loads over the course of the Euros. Italy, you know, capturing the hearts of everybody who basically isn't English with their national anthem and people saying how passionately they were singing it. And then it got me thinking that this is where this idea came from of me saying, what has been the best rendition of a national anthem ever? Not so much the best anthem. We're not looking for any one anthem or country's anthem in particular, but more so the event in which the anthem was sung and with the passion in which it was sung, if that makes sense, if you're following where I'm going. And speaking of following, excellent segue for me. Good job, Lavery. Make sure to follow me on the socials, at the MechLav Podcast on Instagram, at MechLavery98 on Twitter. And then if you have me on Facebook, you'll see me posting up things there as well. So we're going to run through, we're going to talk about five different anthems here, and I'll go through them each one by one. But basically, the anthems came to the forefront more or less because, one, they're good, and countries and teams were singing them with pride and with passion, but also in a negative light as well, because in some cases anthems were being disrespected. There was booing of anthems, there was almost protests and stuff during anthems. Not even just the booing, but as well the likes of when the Hungary national anthem was being played against Germany, there was the LGBT protest with the flag because UEFA wouldn't allow the waving of the pride flag. So the national anthems became a talking point, and I've just knocked something over in my room there, so that's good. We'll start with the tournament winners. We'll start with Italy. And the version I'm going to play is from someone sitting in the stands. This is Italy's national anthem from the opening game of the tournament. And give me a second till I attempt this pronunciation. Il canto degli Italiani. For all my Italian friends out there, I believe that's how you pronounce it. And this is from the Stadio Olimpico in Rome. And this is what it sounds like. This is what it's supposed to sound like. Why is that not playing?
Thank you.
I think I would be lying to myself, certainly, and I think a few people listening will be as well, if we didn't admit to the fact that on one or more occasions over the tournament, we attempted to sing that anthem, make noises along with that anthem, make noises that sounded like the words of the anthem, until that end part where you just scream at the top of your lungs. Of course, the start where it's Italia, you know, you pretend like you know the words. Especially, the best part about it was when you seen how passionate the actual Italian team were, Chiellini and Bonucci and all the fellas, you know, standing arm in arm, and like really, like, you can see it, they're almost tensed up, how much it's got them amped up and excited. And I actually only learned last night that one of the lyrics, or one of the parts of the song, is like, we are ready to die for Italy, or something along those lines. And to stand on a football pitch and sing that at the top of your lungs before then going and playing a football match, there was no way Italy was losing that tournament. Based on it being in that rendition that we just heard, being in Rome. Minutes before that, Andrea Bocelli with Nessun Dorma. I mean, the whole thing was just an Italian love fest. I don't know how the players couldn't have been amped up. You know, from that moment onwards, they were inspired to go and to win that tournament. And that's exactly how it played out. And even at Wembley, with the anthem being booed, they stood through it, they stood tall, they stood proud, they smiled through it, and they belted it out as loud as they could and went on to win the tournament. That, as I said, that captured many people's hearts and attentions, and will now be, I don't want to say viral, it'll be more noticed, because of course anthems happen before most sporting events, and a lot of times it's just a washover, it just passes by without recognition. But I think now the Italian national anthem has got itself into a point where, like, oh, hang on, just turn the TV up there till I hear this. One such occasion of that happening before was the next anthem, and it is the Welsh national anthem. And on this particular occasion, Land of My Fathers, is what it's called. And now, here's something that's really difficult to pronounce. The Gaelic version, the Welsh Gaelic, or Celtic, Mehen Vlad Vernhadai. Now, I've definitely butchered that, but that's how I've wrote it down. The Land of My Fathers, and this is versus Ireland in Euro 2020 qualifier. And just listen to this. Holy good God, I have goosebumps just listening to that now, just sitting in my room. No, the sound wasn't wrecked. No, nothing happened on my end or anything. That was just that loud that the microphones physically couldn't cope with how loud that stadium in Cardiff was. That was versus Ireland, as I say, in a Euro 2020 qualifier. Whatever the full capacity stadium in Cardiff, absolutely belting at the top of the lungs. If you ever go and watch the actual video on YouTube, everybody in the stadium is singing, everybody in the stadium is screaming at the top of the lungs, passionate, waving flags, holding scarves, the whole lot. it was just one of those moments where actually, if you like, at the very start there, the music, the anthem starts over the speakers, and after about 3 seconds, they turn it off and just let the crowd carry it the whole way through. The Welsh national anthem is one of the best. And we're treated to it every year, you know, being from Ireland. When they play each other in the rugby, in the Six Nations, and it's excellent every time. Especially, as I say, the full capacity stadium in Cardiff. Whether it's the football, whether it's the rugby, it is unbelievable. So, from that, we now go to the other side of the pond, as it's known, the Atlantic. We're going to go to the American national anthem, and this is a slightly more mellow, not a mellow version, but the setting. This was 2 days after the September 11 terrorist attacks in New York after 9/11, and this is from the WWE episode of SmackDown, which before the show they sang America's national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the singing of our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, see, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Oh, land of the free and the home of the brave.
Lillian Garcia, the WWE ring announcer. 2 days after the 9/11 terrorist attacks in New York City. An emotionally charged anthem. One which shows scenes from the WWE which you're never used to seeing unless something tragic has happened. Every single wrestler, superstar, standing on the top of the stage at the entrance ramp, standing side by side, storylines aside, singing their national anthem in one of the best show, like, displays is the word I'm looking for, displays of patriotism ever, just in the face of such an awful event. And obviously followed then by the chants of USA, USA. I would say that would have been a special moment to have been there. I have heard better versions of the Star Spangled Banner, you know, at Super Bowls, even at WrestleMania as well. But I think the emotional setting in which this one was performed just makes it so much better and that much more important as to why people love national anthems, why people need national anthems, and why they're so important to for countries and for people to show their nationality, if that makes sense. I hope it does. Apologies. Right, moving on. This is coming back to Europe, and we are now in France. This is Le Marseillais. Now that's butchered. From the Rugby World Cup in the Stade de France in 2007. Well, that sums it up perfectly. Turn that off immediately, thank you. A packed house in Paris, in the Stade de France. The Rugby World Cup being hosted, you know, the home nation, as I mentioned, similar to Italy at the start. Just absolutely belting out. People just giving everything to this anthem and to just express this emotion in the best way that they can. And speaking of expressing emotions, this will be the last one that I play. So, you know, a slightly shorter episode than what I typically put out. But I feel like this is the best way to end it. In fact, before I start it, I'll just run through some of the other suggestions that I got. So I've played Wales versus Ireland. There was also Wales versus Hungary in the football as well. And then another call for the Italian national anthem at Monza in 2019. That is Formula One, for those that don't know. When the Ferrari QR won basically its home race, and everybody floods onto the track and sings underneath the podium, and it was fantastic. So the last one, and I was talking about expressing emotions, this is from 2007, I believe. This is Ireland versus England at Croke Park in the rugby. Now there was a lot of conversation before this match started. There was a lot of debate whether the match should even be played at Croke Park or not, because of course with England, whether it's a football team or a rugby team, coming to play a sporting event, that means the playing of God Save the Queen, their national anthem. And a lot of people around Croke Park and Dublin and Ireland weren't so sure that that was the best idea. But obviously, because of obviously the history that it carries, and I'll not get into that because that's not what this podcast is about. But when the conversation that has been going on now this past couple of weeks of respecting anthems and, you know, showing respect to one person's anthem while then appreciating your own, this is honestly the perfect example of it. For God Save the Queen to be played in Croke Park and there not to be a noise made, you could honestly hear a pin drop while it plays. You know, there's no protest, there's no booing, there's no disturbances. They just let it play. And then whenever it comes to Around the Vane and Ireland's call, it just absolutely blows the roof off Croke Park, genuinely. So, as I said, 2007, Ireland versus England at Croke Park. I'm going to play both anthems here, back to back.
Phil Vickery and us Englishmen giving a pretty lusty rendition of the English anthem. But I think Ireland may just have the edge on them when it comes to the home anthem. president of the GAA, has witnessed many great occasions, and he, like the rest of us, will remember this one.
Yes, Jim, with all the significance and all the symbolism that's been written about this week, it's just fantastic. Now we can get on with the rugby, and one heck of a rugby match we've got in our hands.
That is unbelievable. That's as plain and simple as I can put it for you. The goosebumps you get watching that. I'll keep using this phrase, the outpouring of emotion, the like grown men standing crying their eyes out during the anthem. And then you read through the, if you want to hear some good stories, always go the YouTube comment sections, but particularly in this one, people detailing their experience of that game, and people saying they were standing in the pub bawling their eyes out, people standing on Hill 16 crying their lamps out just because of this absolute overwhelming feeling of this song and these songs and around the vein in Ireland's call, bringing this country that is in many ways divided together, and just putting it all on the field and saying there's not a hope in hell that England win this match. And that's what happened. A lot of people probably ask why I didn't include Hakas. Very fair point. I didn't include the Hakas because if you'd like to do a Haka justice, it has to be seen on video. Listening to it on a podcast wouldn't do it as much justice. As with many of these videos, it's nearly better that you go and you watch them, because just listening to them sometimes just will not do it the justice it deserves. But listen, that's the five I selected. That's the five I went through. In the end, there was actually six anthems because we heard God Save the Queen as well in that clip. Unbelievable. If I missed any out, if there's something you think I forgot about or didn't include, do let me know. As I say, follow me on the social media at MichaelLarvey98 on Twitter, at the Michael Love Podcast on Instagram and Facebook as well. Yeah, that's it, folks. This has been a really enjoyable episode. I've loved watching these videos. I've loved listening to these clips, and even more so reading the stories that go with them. But as for now, this is all I've got to say in this episode. And thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you all in the next episode of the MichaelLarvey Podcast. Cheers.